WBAI New York and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock. The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back next week at 2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And it is time for Back of the Book.
This programming is sponsored by WBAI listeners in support of WBAI's Emergency Tower Fund Drive.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m. and you're listening to All Omicron May Punch Through Booster Shots Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here on this radio program, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, where you can look around at things. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen that says Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that and you'll get to the webpage for tonight's program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 70th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And the big international story of the past week is we are still holding at the huge number of 117 followers on Twitter. Oh, yes, the entire world is watching this giant number. And the next WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Tuesday, January 4th, 2022, but it will be an executive session, quote, to discuss personnel matters, unquote. So you won't be able to hear it. The next WBAI local station board meeting that you will be able to hear the thrilling details of will be held on Wednesday, January 12th, 2022 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We're supposed to elect WBAI's directors to the Pacifica National Board at that meeting, and we'll see what else comes up at it. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 273,535,833 on Friday, and global deaths reached 5,343,273. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 50,616,347, and the death toll in America had reached 805,254. So 9,203 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. That's pretty close to the previous week's number of dead from this disease. So the numbers are kind of going up. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And this was all mostly preventable. This past week, we passed the 800,000 dead mark in America. This level of mortality had been predicted some months ago, but a whole load of people thought that was an exaggeration. We're not going to hit that. We hit it. A year ago, on the December 19th, 2020 program, we announced the death toll in America as being 312,219. We were quite impressed by the number back then. So in the past year, 493,035 people have died of COVID-19 in America. And for most of 2021, we've had vaccines to fight the virus. The United States still has the highest official COVID-19 death toll in the world. Tuesday night, President Biden tweeted, quote, "As we mark 800,000 American deaths due to COVID-19, we must remember all those we have lost and pray for their loved ones, especially during this holiday season. Please get vaccinated and get your booster," unquote. Of course, I'm not praying for any of them. And also, I don't say it's Americans who've died. That number is people who've died in America. That's why I always refer to it that way. I guess the president, like a lot of other people, assumes everybody who dies in America is an American. It's not how it works. I'm sure there are people who are not Americans who have died in America and are part of that 805,254. In any event, get vaccinated and get your booster is what the president says. I agree with him. I got my booster. Pickles of the North got her booster. Oh, boy. And it looked like we were getting the upper hand on the pandemic by late summer. Everybody was, almost everybody was declaring, it's over, we've beat it, and we're going back to normal now, we're going to open everything up, and all of this, and then the Delta variant, along with vaccine refuseniks, led to a fourth wave of deaths beginning in early August. And now the daily test positivity rate has gone up to 8% in New York, and New York has seen its highest number of COVID-19 cases in a single day. I don't know if the Omicron variant is partly responsible for this new surge. And I don't know, that's what it looks like. It looks like a new surge. But tests are showing that the still new Omicron variant is five times more likely to reinfect someone who's already had COVID-19 than the highly infectious Delta variant. And researchers are currently split over whether or not the Omicron variant produces a less severe form of COVID-19. The South African researchers think it gives a less severe form. The United Kingdom researchers say it's not milder. So, of course, it's also possible there might be a slight difference in those two forms of Omicron COVID-19s. So, oh boy, geez. Yeah, a small difference could make a big difference in terms of how bad it is when it gets inside of you. And now a Columbia University study says that the Omicron variant of COVID-19 is, quote, markedly resistant, unquote, to existing vaccines and antibody treatments. They're saying that even booster shots may provide only modest protection against infection. And now, 1% of people 65 and older in America have already died of COVID-19. Yes, for some of us, this is especially striking news. And at least 3/4 of the 805,000 people who've died of COVID-19 have been elderly, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It's possible that comorbidities are the reason for that statistic, but we don't know yet.
Well, here's something a bit new in giving out information to folks. Yesterday, Friday, the White House Coronavirus Task Force had a briefing. And during that briefing, the White House Coronavirus Coordinator, Jeff Zients, said, and I quote, "For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and for the hospitals that you may overwhelm," unquote.
I think a lot of people are getting more and more pissed off at people who, for whatever reason, are refusing to do the logical thing and get vaccinated.
I feel like printing up some T-shirts and putting them on and just walking around with this on it, because that's how blunt you have to be, because, what is it? 120 million people in the United States who aren't vaccinated?
A significant percentage of America is not fully vaccinated. And we're seeing that even with the booster shot, the Omicron variant may, you know, has a fairly decent chance of getting through everything. And so those who are just running around with one shot, you know, of the two-shot vaccines. People who have just one of those, they're vaccinated, but they're not fully vaccinated. You know, they have a problem. And the CDC is now looking with a hairy eyeball at the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccination because it doesn't do enough. Moderna and Pfizer, they do enough. And if you get the Johnson & Johnson and get the Moderna as your booster, that helps a lot. But the J&J looks like it's going to be not favored because it's not doing enough. So, yeah, we have this situation, and people are bothered about other people saying, "I'm not going to get vaccinated because," and then they come up with some totally stupid reason, and, you know, whatever it is. And some of them are just anti-vaxxers, and the government can't tell me what to do. Oh, yeah, it's very frustrating, and I agree in how frustrating it is. And I don't know. I mean, I know that 103 Marines were dismissed from the service because they refused to get vaccinated. And the Army is mostly vaccinated. So I remember when I was in the Army, you didn't get a choice. You know, you get in there and they didn't even tell you what they were shooting you up for. But everybody would walk through a long room and there would be guys on either side. Sometimes they use needles. Sometimes they use the jet guns that shoot the vaccine right through your skin without using a needle. And they just would shoot you up with all of this. And one time, I was getting some of this done. And, you know, I'm opening the shirt and getting the shot. And I do another thing. And I was going through a whole load of different things. And I remember one time I was coming from Fort Ord, California, going to Georgia, and I had to get a yellow fever shot. And, oh, man, did that make me sick. And in another time, I'm going to go somewhere and they're giving me my shots and I'm walking, oh, and I do something else. Then I get to the other part of the line and I say, okay, here comes your polio. And I go, okay, so I'm taking off my shirt. And as I'm taking off my shirt, the guy squirts stuff in my mouth with an eyedropper. He says, that's it. Because by then they were, you know, doing oral vaccines and not the shot in the arm vaccine, which I had been used to as a kid. So, yeah, the Army used to not give you a choice in these matters. I guess they sort of do to some degree now. The Marines obviously say, hey, comply or get the hell out. And I guess some of them are getting the hell out.
I guess it's the proud and the even fewer.
Oh, yeah, 103 fewer. And the winter solstice is coming. The winter solstice will occur on December 21st, that's this coming Tuesday, and it's going to be at 1 minute to 11 o'clock in the morning. Oh boy, Tuesday morning, the solstice hits. We are at the point where the sun will be at its lowest in our sky for the year, and of course, then it's going to start going up, and things will start to get a little bit better. I have all of this stuff spelled out on my website. I say when the season dates are and when the sub-seasons are. I do some of this stuff to the minute. And, yeah, so you can look at it up there at glib.com. And, of course, the days will start getting longer on Wednesday. And that is a good thing. I like longer days. Ah, really, that's something I'll enjoy very much.
Well, even though right now it feels like the sun is being eclipsed by a great big stinking virus, we should still try and get some pleasure out of things like the solstice. And I've been reading up on the solstice a little bit from a book called Yule, which is by Dorothy Morrison, and it's a little Llewellyn publication, which, you have a lot of friendly witches who put together stuff there. Very fun. And she writes about all the different celebrations of light and the sun returning that happen all around the world. And it's traced back, apparently, 4,000 years ago to Egypt with Horus. Is that how you say his
Horus.
Name? Horus. Horus. And he was a fiery orb, and he was a god, an Egyptian god. And they wanted him to come back and be stronger. So they started celebrating, and they would have big parties and celebrations, and it took place for 12 days, which makes sense. And they would use palms decoration for all over the place, and many of the palms would end up growing. It grew one frond a month, so you could have 12 fronds, which is kind of cool. Anyway, that celebration spread to the Babylonians, and they had their own version. Let's see. Oh, Zagmuk. That was the name of their celebration. And the guy they celebrated there was Marutuk. And he was another sun. These are all representations of the sun. And everybody did the same thing, because I guess humans are just humans through the ages. They drank, they danced, they did all kinds of crazy things. The Persians, their celebration was called Sikeya, I think. I don't know how to pronounce it. I couldn't find the pronunciation. And they came up with the things where, you know, the masters would switch positions with the slaves, because they all had slaves. And there would be all, just things would be topsy-turvy, and that's how people celebrated. And, of course, all this stuff filtered down through the ages to the Romans. And they ended up having Saturnalia, which was fun, because that was their big god of, you know, goodness and peace and all this stuff. And they started giving each other presents. So that's a fun aspect that came in. And then, of course, the Christians tried to co-opt it, but people didn't want to give it up because it was too much fun. So they took the celebration of Mithra, the birth of Mithra, which was another representation of sun that the Romans had, which took place on December 25th. And they kind of took that for their own celebration of a sun with an O instead of a U. But because people wouldn't stop celebrating, and they wouldn't stop celebrating, all this stuff happened around the winter solstice. So you should keep on trying to celebrate. Have fun on the winter solstice.
Well, I think actually, you want to talk about the Christians co-opting it. Yes, they did. However, you have to look back and say, all those others you named co-opted it too.
They did.
You have, 4,000 years ago sounds like a long time, but it's not that long a time ago. We had civilizations 4,000 years ago. Long before there was civilization, people had their various myths, and they would have been tracking the sun going up and down, and they would have noted, sometimes the sun is up there a lot longer, sometimes it's a lot higher, sometimes for the whole day it doesn't go up nearly as high. So they would have noted this. People were hunter-gatherers, scavengers, and they were out all day, so they would have noticed the sun angles and all of this stuff. So, yes, people would have probably had, in fact, it's possible, maybe even hominins like the Neanderthals and the Denisovans might have had a religion because they did have grave goods with their dead. They buried their dead and included grave goods with them. And the general understanding is you don't do that unless you think there's some afterlife they're going to, which gives you a whole big thing to do. So I think that a lot of this religious stuff happened long before then. In fact, we've got an example of an observatory, the remains of which are just wood stuck in the ground, that was dug up in Germany some years ago. The damn thing is 9,000 years old. And, geez, they were paying attention to astronomy 9,000 years ago.
There's no doubt about any of that. However, the things that I cited actually are things that are written down. And we know what people did. We know how the people celebrated. We know why they did, too. Yes, it was because the sun was getting dimmer, lower, And then they wanted it to come back. And, of course, they made it into supernatural things because that's the way they understood their world. So what I'm saying is this is all the things we do today, the way we celebrate, have been that way for at least 4,000 years that we know of, that have, written documentation.
Yes, the preliterate people, we just don't know enough about. Which brings up the thing, write it down, damn it! So, more than 700 people have been arrested for taking part in a January 6th insurrection that had Trump fanatics attacking the United States Capitol in an attempt to prevent Congress from counting the ballots from the Electoral College. One moron from Queens, who was a Proud Boys wannabe, was sentenced to 2 years and 9 months in prison on Thursday. This guy, named Edward Floria, couldn't even make it to the insurrection because he couldn't get a ride to Washington, D.C. So he started posting threats on social media the night before the insurrection. He said on social media, quote, "We need to all come to an agreement and go armed and really take back Washington," unquote. And he also said that recently elected Senator Raphael Warnock, quote, "is going to have a hard time casting votes for communist policies when he's swinging with the bleeping fish," unquote. Well, that threat against the senator is what got him arrested, convicted, and sentenced. What a jackass! And he's one of a whole bunch of them. And former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows had released some evidence before he clammed up that a bunch of Fox News personalities had been urging Trump to stop the attack on the Capitol on January 6th. And then they spent the rest of the year variously poo-pooing the insurrection, saying that Antifa did it, or saying that it was just tourists looking around. Meanwhile, Chris Wallace has jumped the Fox News ship because apparently he'd had enough of this crap and said, I'm not going to stay around here anymore. And as we say on every one of these pre-recorded programs, if something happens between the time when we record the program on Friday afternoon and when you hear it on Saturday morning, we just aren't going to be talking about it on this program. Well, that happened again on our last program. That big storm that produced what they're calling historic tornado activity in the Midwest and South broke out after we'd posted the program. The storm produced a line of tornadoes that went through several states, and some of them were quite severe. One tornado traveled over 200 miles through four states. And the small town of Mayfield, Kentucky, was pretty much wiped out. There were other small towns that were also wiped out, but Mayfield had that factory in it that got crushed. And so they've gotten the most publicity. But there were other small towns that are kind of not on the map anymore. A significant percentage of the people who lived in Mayfield, Kentucky, died. It's a small town with a tiny population. So a number of people dying is like 10% or 11% of the population. I mean, if that happened in New York City, the 10% of the population died, that'd be like probably 850,000 people. Ugh. Anyway, the overall death toll in that whole set of tornadoes and storms is at 88 right now as we record this. And we can't say for certain that this furious set of storms was the result of global warming and climate change, but it sure does look like it to me. Federal Emergency Management Agency Chief Deanne Criswell said, quote, "The effects we are seeing of climate change are the crisis of our generation. We're taking a lot of efforts at FEMA to work with communities to help reduce the impacts that we're seeing from these severe weather events and help to develop system-wide projects that can help protect communities," unquote. And this set of storms and tornadoes would have been a big deal in the spring when they usually show up, but this thing happened in mid-December. Now, I remember the first time I heard about the idea that global warming might make it so that storms and winds would be stronger was when I was talking about it on the air. I thought this up myself quite a number of years ago because I was talking about how this really works, that the global warming, why is it warmer? Because the molecules of air get more energy and they wiggle back and forth and that raises the temperature as they would beat against the thermometer or beat against us or beat against anything. And that would be it. But as we know, now and again, things just get together more coherently instead of the random fluctuations of air molecules as they make temperature differences. We also have winds. And I said, geez, there's nothing saying that the kinetic energy can't go in pretty much one predominant direction. And I think that means the winds will get faster and storms will get, you know, stronger. And so they have. And gee whiz, I really strongly think that this is another artifact of global warming and climate change. There's going to be more of this. Another one like this may not happen for 10 years, but they're saying this is a storm of a century. So if you get a storm of the century every 10 years or even every 20 years, that kind of means things have changed. Meanwhile, that right-wing idiot, Alex Jones, who keeps getting sued and crushed by people for saying stupid things about them, Alex Jones is saying that government weather machines created those tornadoes. He said, quote, "They just think you're stupid, and they don't want you knowing they are doing all of this," unquote. And Jesus Christ, he's such an idiot. On the other hand, I do know of a radio station that once did broadcast things here and there about some storms and hurricanes, about the Israeli ships in the Gulf of Mexico that had weather machines on them that were causing the hurricanes. So, yeah, it isn't always the right-wing nuts that come up with this kind of thing. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And the new space telescope is set to launch on Friday, December 24th. And they put the launch date off by another 2 days. It had been supposed to go up on the 22nd. Now it's going up on the 24th. I think that might be weather related or something. I don't know. They had a piece about the telescope on 60 Minutes this past Sunday night, and they mostly talked about the science a bit and about how everything has to go perfectly for it to set up right. Oh boy, this is a real cross your fingers kind of a deal. I do wish they'd rename it. They did not mention the controversy about James Webb being a homophobe. They didn't say that at all. They didn't talk about him. They just said, yeah, this is the guy it's named after, and then went on, which I guess is the best they can do because they're not going to, you know, stand up and say, yeah, these guys are naming it after this homophobe. Maybe at some point they'll talk about it. I don't know. And I noticed that a couple of weeks after we talked about it on the air, the James Webb telescope being named after James Webb, who was a homophobe, who discriminated against gay people at NASA and before NASA when he was in the State Department. So we talked about this on the air, and a couple of weeks later, the New York Times had the back page of the Science Times talking about the controversy. So there you go. Of course, I first saw it in Scientific American some months ago. And there's that. Anyway, yeah. Boy, oh boy, you know, so many things have to go perfectly right for this thing to unfold because it's gigantic. This thing is the size of a building, and it's going to be a million miles away, and there's no way. Human beings have never been that far away from the planet Earth before. We have space stations and things going around at a couple of hundred miles up. The moon is only 239,000 miles away, and you see the gigantic effort that had to be done to put men on the moon, and we only did it a few times, and we said, okay, that's it. We're not doing it anymore because Richard Nixon said, oh, we did that. Okay. Now let's go back to starting wars. And so that was a gigantic effort. A million miles. This is more than 4 times farther away than the moon is. And so this is something you can't go out and repair, like the Hubble Space Telescope, which they were able to go up and repair, I'm very glad to say. But if one thing doesn't go right, it could really mess it up because, for instance, it has fuel on it because it has to be able to keep a position. And it has this very complicated sail sort of thing. It's really a heat shield and it has layers and layers. And that thing is very complicated. And so that's going to have to go up. And it's going to have to unfold perfectly. The mirror is going to have to unfold. Everything has to go right. I think there are over 300 operations. Each one has to go perfectly. So I was reading a piece in the Times the other day, and some scientists are really having, you know, a white knuckle time until Friday. Well, after Friday, it's going to take a month for this thing to unfold itself. So sometime like the end of January, we'll have an idea whether or not this thing worked. And, well, that'll be interesting. I hope it works. I hope they do a lot of great science from it. I just wish they'd rename the damn thing. Very fast, I'd like to note that it was 50 years ago Tuesday that the Suffolk County cops broke my nose. Yeah, I told you about how this started evolving a while ago. In 1971, we had a number of demonstrations, the Gay Activist Alliance did, out in Suffolk County because of a raid on a gay bar and all sorts of illegal things done by the police. And so we went to Suffolk County and we said, yes, we want to have an arrest warrant for this one cop. And so I guess all of his buddies came swarming after us and it was a big thing. And they broke my nose and I had to go to the hospital, and then a woman had her ribs broken. One of the cops did go to the hospital. So yeah, 50 years ago, I've been talking about stuff that happened 50 years ago. This is another thing. This sort of ended 1971 in terms of gay activism, I suppose. And there we go. So our Paul's nose used to be a little bit even thinner than it is now. Well, okay, we got a pitch. Yes, WBAI needs to pay for the transmitter rental, all right, or the rent on Four Times Square. Over at Four Times Square, we have our transmitter, and we share the antenna. And so that's where you're hearing this from if you're listening to the air. And, well, we fell a little bit behind in our payments. We're behind in our rent. Good grief. And so WBAI is looking at the possibility that we could end up 3 months in arrears on the rent, at which point I think it's in the contract that the people at Four Times Square get to turn our signal off. In any event, this is what the general manager has told Pacifica management. It was that, you know, we could be taken off the air. I suspect, I don't know for sure, I haven't seen the new contract at all. I saw the old one. We used to have a contract at the Empire State Building, and we were constantly late there. And so what happened was, I think that when Four Times Square let us come on to their facility, they said, you know, the Empire State Building had to sue these people like so many times. And it was, really, I think we had to get sued. Oh, God, I can't remember. You know, more than once a year, we were sued by the Empire State Building. We had late fees and stuff like that, and we were still late. And I think these guys said, "What? They don't care about late fees. They don't care about any of that. Maybe they'll care if we take them off the air." So this might be in a contract that says, if you're 3 months in arrears, we take you off the air. Anyway, that's what the general manager has told Pacifica management. And so we need to raise money. And how we do that is we go to you. We ask you, the listeners, to please pledge some amount of money. And what you do is we ask you to call 1-212-209-2950. And when the person at the call center picks up, say, I want to pledge some amount of money for WBAI in the name of Back of the Book. It'd be nice if you said it's for Back of the Book, because then we get credit for it and management knows we have listeners. So, again, 1-212-209-2950. If you could please give us a call at that number, give the call center a call at that number, and say you want to do this, that would be really, really helpful. And some people are saying, well, yeah, but BAI is looking to get a lot more than 1 month's rent. Yeah, we are, because the general manager is, he said he was going to negotiate with the people at Four Times Square. I don't know what his negotiation came out to be. However, he's talking about getting a year's worth of the money of the rental and putting it away. This sounds an awful lot like what Four Times Square wanted us to do in the first place. Four Times Square had originally wanted WBAI and Pacifica to give them a letter of credit so that they could just draw money out of a bank account for the rent. And instead of saying, we'd like it if you'd write a check, please, they would just draw it right out. And so I think maybe he... Did he reach an agreement with them on that, that we would finally give them the letter of credit if they gave us a little extra time and didn't shut us off? Because we didn't pay October, we didn't pay November. Well, December, it's past mid-December right now. We probably are supposed to have paid our December rent by now, but I don't know if we have. In any event, I'm thinking that probably what's happening is we're getting this large amount of money together so that we can put it in the bank and leave it there and pay them with that from now on, at least for a year. 1-212-209-2950. If you call that number, you can help us to build up that amount of money and not get thrown off the air, all right? And again, if the general manager did make a deal with them to do that, then we got to make sure we get it in there. They'll be able to say, to hell with you, we'll take you off the air for a while, and that will motivate you to pay your bills on time. Oh, boy. You know, it's just like Simon Legree here asking for the rent, demanding the rent. 1-212-209-2950. So that's the number to call. You get, please go up, go to your phone or pick up your phone next to you. Don't know what you do with your phone. There are so many more options with your phone these days. And call 1-212-209-2950 and say, yes, I want to pledge a certain amount of money. Now, $25 is a regular one-year subscription. If you pledge $25 or more, you get to become a member of WBAI, and you'll be able to vote in the elections next year. We're going to have elections for local station board next year, and I'm hoping that we get a good turnout of people who will vote for people who will want to help BAI as opposed to idiots who want to give BAI away to their friend. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. You can get up, go to your phone, or not get up, just reach over and grab it. Dial 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to donate whatever amount you want. $25 is a one-year subscription. If you can't afford $25, you can pledge less. You can pledge more. And you will be helping WBAI to make sure that we don't get turned off at the transmitter source. If they, you know, all they have to do is flip a switch and we're off. It's not like they have to do anything big, especially if it is in the contract, which I'm thinking it might be, because the general manager was being very explicit to people about, you know, how they can, how after 3 months in arrears, they'll take us off the air. And, you know, I think that's probably in a contract, because if it's in a contract, they just do it. They don't have to do anything more. So you can prevent BAI from being taken off the air by calling 1-212-209-2950. And you can pledge some amount of money. It'd be nice if you pledged $25 or more, and that would really help us out. It's really good if you say this is in the name of Back of the Book, because then we get credit for it, and that'll be very, very helpful. 1-212-209-2950. And unfortunately, we can't thank you or say who's calling in because this isn't live. We are pitching by remote control here. We're pre-recording this, and so it's difficult to say who's calling in and who's not. For all we know, nobody calls in when we... Well, we do know some people do, because some people have informed us directly that they do. So some people do. But what we need you to call. We need you to call 1-212-209-2950. Help WBAI build up this 1 year of rent money so that we can then just put it in a separate bank account and let the landlord, the four times square, just draw the money out on a monthly basis and not have any stress or drama about it. Stress and drama, that's stuff that just happens constantly with anything related to WBAI, and especially anything related to WBAI finances. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Give us a call at the number now. And, you know, you'll say, oh, boy, we can save WBAI by doing this. We can keep this crazy thing on the air. And we talk about various things on this radio program. We talk about stuff you don't hear too much elsewhere. You're not here. 60 Minutes didn't cover the controversy over naming the James Webb Telescope. You got a very short bit of stuff about how it's built and how it's going to really have to be assemble itself perfectly and all of that. But yeah, it is. You got a little bit of the science, not much, and that was it. You didn't hear about the web naming controversy, and you're not going to hear on TV news about the discoveries, whereas assuming that it does work perfectly and starts to work there, when it starts making discoveries, we'll probably be talking about them and, you know, all sorts of new things may get discovered. For ordinary things, a white dwarf star has been found far, far away that is spinning so fast it's spinning so that it rotates in 25 seconds. A white dwarf star is about the size of the Earth, except it's much, much denser. It's like 230,000 times heavier than the Earth, but it's only the size of the Earth. And instead of the 24 hours it takes the Earth to rotate, this star rotates in 25 seconds, and it's spewing out. It's near another star, and it's spewing out some of the material from that star and throwing it out at 7 million miles an hour or something. Oh, boy. And we talk about things like this on this program, and so we will continue to do that. So if you like the fact that we cover science subjects, please give us a call at 1-212-209-2950. That would be your way of saying, yes, I want to see these science topics covered on WBAI by back of the book. And that would be a way of doing it. That tells management that, yes, there are people who want to hear these science topics. We know there's a lot of politics on BAI. We certainly get a lot of that and other things going on and all sorts of programming. We tend to do science things when we can and, when we're not pitching. And so you will get decent science stories out of us. And it's not like the TV news where they laugh off the science because they have no idea what the hell they're talking about. You can help keep us all on the air by calling 1-212-209-2950. 1-212-209-2950. If you could just do that, it would help a whole lot. We need your help, and without it, we may end up getting taken off the air by the folks at Four Times Square. And the only way we can really avoid that is by paying them. You got to pay them. Got to pay the rent. There's no way around that. So We have to ask you to help us out and call 1-212-209-2950. Yeah, this is sort of like the old days. We're not pitching BAI buddies right now. We're pitching our big emergency transmitter pitch at this point in time. We want a lump sum donation. $25 is a regular one-year subscription. If you want to give $50 or $100 or more, you can certainly do that. And you do that by calling 1-212-209-2950. 1-212-209-2950. And you call that number up and you say you want to make a pledge to WBAI, and they can take your credit card. So you can make it a pledge that goes instantly in and becomes an instant donation. In fact, that's what's preferred. Or a debit card. They'll take that. And so that will help us. That will push us a little closer to getting the amount of money WBAI needs in order to make sure that we don't get taken off the air. And yeah, we've always had these transmitter things. The transmitter bill is always the biggest bill. And if you're a regular listener, you will have heard us pitching emergency problems years ago back at Empire State Building. And yeah, they used to sue us. But four times square, they've got a more effective way of doing it. They apparently say, when you're 3 months in arrears, we take you off the air. And, oh, man, how the hell is that going to work for us? 1-212-209-2950. We need to hear from you. Come on, a couple of more minutes of this. We got to do this. Management, by the way, has mandated the exact amount of time we're required to pitch on this thing. And also, we have a mandated statement by the interim program director right before the program and right at the very end of the program. And so you will have heard one and you'll hear the other soon. 1-212-209-2950. Management is very serious about this because, you know, for obvious reasons, we gotta make sure that we don't get taken off the air. Pretty useless to just be sitting here talking to ourselves. 1-212-209-2950. Please get up. Go to your phone. Dial that number. Dial it now. 1-212-209-2950. When the person at the call center picks up, say, I want to pledge, and tell them what amount of money you want to pledge to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book to keep the station on the air. And that's really what you're doing. This is not for meeting other bills. This isn't for paying the rent at the studios, which is a little more flexible, I think, and is a lot less. And this isn't about, somebody wants to buy donuts. This is about paying the rent at the transmitter, without which we go off the air. 1-212-209-2950. Please, could you give us a call at that number now? Please call 1-212-209-2950. If you want to keep Back of the Book on WBAI and you want to keep WBAI on the air, please call us at 1-212-209-2950. Tell them you want to pledge whatever amount of money you want to pledge to us. It can be $10 or $15 or $20. $25 is a full year subscription, or more than that. You want to donate $100, that'll be great. And then you'll tell them that it's, you know, in the name of Back of the Book for BAI, and they will get your information, and that'll be it. You will have helped to save WBAI. All right, I think that's been it. We've been pitching. Thank you for that, and I hope some of you have donated. There we go. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. And thank you to anyone who may have pledged. Again, we're pre-recording this, so we can't tell who's pledged, or if anybody is pledged. We sure do hope some of you are pledging out there. And we'll be back here next week, and it will be Isaac Newton's birthday. Oh, boy, Isaac Newton's birthday next week. Whoopee! And we're going to be celebrating, possibly with Uncle Sidney, depending on the COVID situation, you know, whether we all figure it's good to go out. Uncle Sidney may be coming over to have solstice celebrations with us. And coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller, and at 7 a.m., Ralph Nader Radio Hour.
And Jim Freund, who used to be on at 7, is now on at 6 a.m. from 6 to 8 on Sundays doing science fiction programming. So good luck to him over there. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for donating and helping to keep it all in the air. We're going to go now and look out the windows. Say, oh boy, here it comes. The days are going to get longer soon. And the cold moon will be showing up on Saturday night. And above all, remember what that hoping to put this solstice behind him Dormouse said.
This hour of programming has been brought to you by WBAI listeners in support of WBAI's Emergency Tower Fund Drive.
And I'm Jeff Simmons.
We host Driving Forces here on WBAI.
We bring you thoughtful conversations about what really matters to New Yorkers on politics and public policy.
And we make time to hear from you, our listeners, not just during the holidays, but all year round.
To keep these critical conversations on the air, we need your help.
From now until New Year's, we're building up our funds to pay rent on our broadcast tower at 4 Times Square.
Go to towerfund.wbai.org today to help us keep free speech radio alive in the greatest city in the world. That's towerfund.wbai.org.
It's easy to donate. It only takes a minute. Just go to towerfund.wbai.org. And remember, your contribution is tax deductible.
WBAI is getting its financial house in order. Help us keep our signal as strong and as clear as our commitment to bringing you the best in news, music, and culture.
Give to WBAI this holiday season. Be heard.
I believe that we have got to mobilize a larger movement to reclaim the democracy.
Radio broadcaster Bob Law.
Some of y'all have underestimated the value and the appeal of white supremacy. And you have no idea how strong white privilege and white supremacy is.
tune in to From the Streets with Bob Law, which gives voice to a wide range of Black and progressive political and cultural perspectives. That's 11 to noon Saturdays here over listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
This is WBAI, and this is Fred Eagle Smith for WBAI in New York. Stick it in your ear.
All right. Thanks a lot.